Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
You need that fear.
All I'm trying to do is make a stand for something that I truly believe is right. I truly believe it's right.
Yes, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back, back-to-back days. We're getting back to our old ways, man. It can't keep us away. You know, middle finger in the air to YouTube. We're going to be here on Blog Talk. We're a podcast, and we're going to do what podcasts do best. We're going to podcast. So much news to talk about, but we're going to be a little bit specific in today's topic. We're going to talk a little of the World Boxing Super Series. Now, I know we gave you a little taste of this in the Cruiserweight division, but just that quickly, within 24 hours, we've gotten another update that really shakes things up, really makes this just a little bit more interesting. And we thought, you know, why not let our listeners know exactly what it is that is taking place in not only the Cruiserweight division, but the super middleweight division that just got a little bit exciting for sure. Let me head on over to the Golden State. No, you know, the hipsters over here on the East Coast getting battle ready. Let's get out to the hipster real quick.
Dollar D. Beyonce production.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Johnson. How you feel about it?
Fuck that. Conor McGregor.
BoxingVoice.com.
You know me, Larry. From a wicked entrance, from a flip over the rock, into a knockout. When the main thing is, I just want the guy. I wish.
BoxingVoice.com.
Yes, the hipsters here, haters beware, and the super middleweight division, or at least the tournament in the World Boxing Super Series, is heating up in certain ways. We had some surprising entrances from one guy that is a friend of the show. You know, let's get that bias out of the way, at least, you know, show that to the public, that this guy calls Nestor Gibbs and goes, yo, the Dominican Nightmare. So,
well, don't be shocked that he realized his talent.
So, you know, Rob Brandt now entering the super middleweight tournament, who is moving up a division. Very interesting. We have an unknown prospect out of Turkey who says he's going to knock out everyone practically. So, just heating up in a way. Obviously, we have a rumor, the headline of this show, if Chris Eubank beats Arthur Abraham, he will enter this tournament. That is the rumor. It is not confirmed yet, but that is the rumor that will definitely be the final entrant to this tournament, and it'll be exciting. Chris Eubank is a star. We know that. He does huge numbers online in all metrics. I think that this guy whose fight with Arthur Abraham is going to be on U.S. pay-per-view, for all those who do not know, for the lovely price of $25. It's going to be interesting. I wonder what his star power is in the U.S. in pay-per-view. Just a lot of interesting things going on with this tournament and all things surrounding it. So cannot wait to chop it up.
Well, let's jump right into the World Boxing Super Series and their announcement today of three more rising challengers. I'm going to get Jeffrey on a job for our contender from Turkey.
Jeffrey Alderin.
Avian Alderin. 16-0, 10 KOs with a chip on his shoulder. Rob Brandt, like Matt, my co-host, let you know. Definitely a friend of the show, a listener, a Patreon. I mean, and also trained by Derek James. Actually on his way to Monaco for the draft as we speak.
Yes, we were on the phone with him right before the show, which is why we are a little bit late. Sorry, all you people that were waiting for us.
In the queue.
It's because we did have Rob Brandt on the phone, and we were sort of conducting an impromptu interview about it. And he seems pumped. He seems excited. He seems confident.
Very pumped.
And again, you know, he was a a super prospect in the middleweight division. This guy was a fight or two away from fighting the elite guys of the division. And, you know, speaking of the division they just left, Billy Joe Saunders now fighting William Monroe Jr. You know, he's leaving a division that is still, I believe, relevant. It's an interesting move, to say the least, that he leaves a division with guys like Triple G, guys like Daniel Jacobs, who are some sort of stars in some sort of way on some spectrum. Guys like Billy Joe Saunders, he's leaving that. And I know he was talking a lot of shit on my boy, Ryota Murata.
Well, he actually called him Toyota Corolla.
Yes, I blame that on you entirely, Ness. But, you know, it's interesting to see if he stays at super middleweight. I did not view him as a very big middleweight beforehand. It's going to be interesting to see how he sizes up against guys.
Well, the
like
guy
George
from
Rose.
Turkey is only 5'11". True. And, you know, Rob Brandon's 6 feet.
True. And, but it's like George Groves is how tall? How tall is George Groves?
I don't know, but Callum Smith is probably the tallest, and he's like 6'1", 6'2".
True. The problem with this tournament or that bracket in particular is that we're leaving out some really big names in the tournament, unfortunately, or in that division. Gilberto Ramirez, David Benavidez.
Yeah, the top of the division.
James DeGale. Those three guys are not in this tournament, which is sad. Those are sort of all three Lucien Boutés right now.
But, you know, that division is a little more, I guess, stacked than a middleweight division. Plus, all those middleweights will soon be moving up. So, for guys like Rob Brandt and some other people that we're going to need Jeffrey to pronounce, right? Like, I know this is one of Matt's guys here.
The Swede?
Eric.
Eric the Red.
Eric Skoglund.
Yeah.
Eric Skoglund.
The Southpaw.
Jamie Cox is also in this.
Great prospect.
Jurgen Bramer is also in this. So
veteran.
It's not the lower half, but it's definitely not the top half, right? Because none of the Durrells are in it.
True.
Both Anthony and Andre are now at 168, right? Or did no wait? Anthony should be at 175.
No, he's not.
No, he's 168. You're right.
You're gonna fight Callum Smith.
Yeah. So, but those are the only two really out of it, right? Like who else didn't get in?
Well, I just named three,
which are
James DeGale, Gilberto Ramirez, and David Benavidez.
DeGale. Well, Benavidez.
Oh, come on. Benavidez deserves to be in this tournament. He can go in there and beat every single one of these guys with his power.
At 68?
Yes.
Why isn't he in it then?
I don't know. His last fight was at 68 when he beat Porky Medina by knockout. That fucking Mortal Kombat finish. You remember
that.
Yeah, that was some sweet shit. So I'm just saying, like, it's not that this tournament or that bracket in particular is underwhelming. It just could be better. I think this tournament still is awesome. You're getting some really great names in there. George Groves, Jamie Cox, Callum Smith, those three guys from the UK alone brings a level of exposure to all these guys. So it's just, I wish James DeGale, I wish those other guys were in it. It would have made it better. But then again, if those guys were in it, then guys like Jamie Cox, guys like Eric Skoglund, they wouldn't be in this tournament. And they deserve some shine too. Those guys have been, you know, in the trenches for a while as prospects and not got the shine. This is their chance. That's why a guy like Rob Brandt is taking it, because this is a chance for him to be exposed to the wide world of boxing in its fandom, because you're getting all over the world guys coming in for this tournament.
You see, the good thing about this is the winner automatically gets talked about with the Ramirez, DeGales.
Yes.
And
Benavidez. The Durrell
brothers.
You
can't say Benavidez. He's not really. Oh, he's not up there yet.
Oh my god.
He's not there yet, man.
He beat Porky Medina in a way that James DeGale did not. That shows something. It doesn't show everything, but it shows something.
He's got to keep winning.
Oh, absolutely. He should have been in this tournament. Same with Gilberto Ramirez. And again, there was still a spot left in this tournament. I mean, those guys could sweep in and take Chris Eubank's spot. That is entirely possible.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening.
The draft is in a couple days, so they have to fill that spot within a couple days. They have to fly this guy out within a couple days. If it's Chris Eubank, I feel like there is some sort of unknown about it because he does have a fight coming up. What if he gets a cut? What if he gets a concussion? What if he tears an ACL? These are a bunch of things that play a factor that if I'm the World Boxing Super Series or the benefactors of that tournament, I may be very hesitant on saying the winner of that fight is going to be in the tournament. Or this guy in particular is going to be, if he gets past the other guys, going to be in this tournament.
I hear you, man. I just feel like whoever's coming into this one and coming out of it, they're going to be able to demand fights with the top of the division.
And
George Groves already is coming into this to this tournament
with a belt.
With a belt, exactly. So all that will be left out there is DeGale and Ramirez, right?
Yes, because the WBC is still vacant because Badder Jack moved up. And the Callum Smith-Anthony Durrell fight was supposed to be for that vacant.
And listen, there's no saying that it won't be, because I have another press release where the WBC is now giving out World Boxing Super Series WBC diamond belts.
Interesting.
That's right. They're giving them out.
Plus the WBC. I mean, they always want to make their money. So.
Well, I don't know if it's a thing of making money. I mean, it costs money to make those belts. And
they have to get their money back.
I think they just want to be associated with a big tournament. Why not? And I think that a belt like the WBC adds a little more validity. Unfortunately, they're creating a title. No, what doesn't. They can do is mandate that already vacant title into the tournament of creating a diamond belt.
That would be more. I think that'd be more. I don't know.
You know, they better, contact the right Reginald Quillen to get in this motherfucking tournament.
Is it like Ronald Quillen or something like that?
Is it?
I have no idea. I forgot who that guy was after Eubank.
You know who else you forgot about? Chudinov. I'm surprised you didn't want to see Chudinov in this one.
Chudinov just lost against George Groves.
Okay, well, and?
Are
you not an MMA fan, or are now all of a sudden losses the end of a career?
I'd rather have some fresh matchups.
Oh.
And guys, and like I said, getting
picky choosy.
Like I said, getting prospects like Callum Smith, Jamie Cox, Eric Skoglin, all these really good hot prospects that still have not got the shine, seeing them on this scene, I like. That to me sells it. I mean, see all these prospects get in there and prove to me that one of them is a contender. Because one of them is going to have to be George Groves. And that's going to be a huge scalp on their belt.
You know, we spoke obviously to both Derrick James and Rob Brandt today, who are going to be participants in this tournament as Team Brandt. And they're confident they could take the whole tournament in the super middleweight division. But you seen what was interesting, and I know Rob's going to be like, ooh, Ness caught that. But when he signed up, Callum Smith wasn't in this. And now... Sure. As he's in travel, he finds out that Callum Smith is in it, who's a really tall super middleweight. And height is always a problem. You know, a lot of people think that it's not, but it is.
It is. Absolutely.
You know? But I guess it isn't when you're talking 2 inches, maybe, right?
I mean, if you know how to use 2 inches of height to your advantage, then you can do it. But, again, you have to know how to use it. I don't think Rob Brandt had any hesitation when he heard that Callum Smith joined the tournament. I think Rob Brandt's a super confident guy. He's undefeated.
Absolutely. I'm not saying that he isn't, but he did not know. He said at the time of signing, he didn't know Callum Smith was in it. He was under the impression, like you and I, that Callum Smith was going to fight one of the Durrells. Mm-hmm. You know?
Or it was rumored originally that the winner of that fight was going to be a member of the tournament. So Anthony Durrell could have a possibility of entering it. For some reason, he would not.
But now Smith's biggest win is what? Like Rocky Fielding, maybe?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, Callum Smith is a prospect. Who's Jamie Cox's best win? Who's Eric Skoglund's
I've never
best
heard
win?
Of Jamie Cox.
Those are all prospects. The only reason Callum Smith is bigger than those prospects is because of that last name. Come on.
Yeah.
The Smith family has exposure more so than any of these individual prospects.
Have you seen Jamie Cox fight?
Yes. Once.
That's
funny. He fought recently, I believe. It was like a month ago, maybe.
Really? Maybe I did see him then. Oops. Fuck
it. I forget what card he was on. I know he was on a Sky Sports card. I shouldn't say no. I believe he was on a Sky Sports card. Again, you know, I stream all that shit.
Really?
Okay.
He did fight the first. Yes. The first of the month. Looks like, right? Yep, maybe so. Maybe not. Yeah, July 1st, looks like.
Is it a 7 or a 6 on the month?
7.
Then it's July 1st. Yeah, he fought. Yeah, but he fought, you know, last weekend.
Yeah. I need a better picture. This is just a headshot. Cause they send a lot of tape. I don't know if this is someone I've watched or not. I just can't remember. With this headshot.
I remember Rob from the UK sending me a bunch of links to this.
Uh-oh. Speaking of Rob from the UK, he's already on the check-in. And I think he heard us talking Jamie Cox. He came into the rescue.
Oh, his ears perked up. He's like, oh, UK fighters?
Uh-oh. Hold on. Let's bring him on.
Dollar DiBiase Productions.
BJ was going to beat me, didn't you? You think he's going to beat me? He got smashed. Wilder Wilder sold out 90,000. This guy has been pro for like 8 years, 9 years. If Wilder wants some of his work, he can definitely get it on ASAP.
BoxingWiz.com. Hi, fellas. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Rob?
Rob.
Yeah, good,
up?
Mate. Yeah,
how good is Jamie?
You started talking Jamie Cox, man.
How good is Jamie? How good is Jamie?
Yeah,
Cox?
He's good. Yeah, he's good. He's I believe he's sparred Canelo. There's rumors he knocked out Badu Jack in sparring. Yeah, he's good, man. He was supposed to fight Rocky Fielding for the British title.
But Fielding already lost to
Callum Smith.
To Smith. And who's his biggest win, this guy, Jamie?
I mean, he's got a reputation as, like, an avoided fighter, to be honest. I can tell you, for one, I bet you he's hoping that Chris Eubank Jr. because there's some beef there, I think, with Chris Eubank Jr. So I bet he's hoping for that draw.
Rob, since you're from the UK... and there is so many UK fighters in the super middleweight tournament. Who are you favoring? Yeah. Who are you favoring? Is it Callum Smith, George Groves, Jamie Cox? What are you thinking here?
I mean, we all watched the. I mean, you done a live fight chat on Groves, Chudinov, and I love that guy. Just the way he goes. You know, he's got that herky jerky style, as you like to call it. Callum Smith, yeah, he'll be confident, but I've got a thing for Jamie Cox. I want the up and coming. He's not long signed with Matchroom. I want to see him do well. He's fairly local to me, so I'm kind of rooting for him, but probably more likely
picking with your heart, buddy.
Yeah, I know, we all do that, don't we? You've been guilty as well, Ned. I think Groves will probably be the favorite out of the British fighters to continue on and do well in it. But my house
is Groves. Is Groves healthy enough to live out that schedule? And believe me, whoever makes it to the semifinals, I'm hoping it's not going to be by luck. They're going to prove something. So that means that the next fight is tough.
Well, one thing you have to consider very quickly is George Groves cuts very easily. He gets bruised up very easily. So if he's in a 12-round war, he may not be ready to fight, and he may have to drop out, and there may need be an alternative to come into. His position.
Yeah, but that's maybe true, but I think he's found a new focus, and I think the winning that title was just lifted him, and now he believes in, you know, he was always the nearly man, and now he's done it. I think he's got a new focus, and hopefully they'll go well, the British guys, but you know, I'm just really hyped for the whole tournament. Really, it's shaped up to be really good.
If you had to take a guess, what network you think is picking it up?
Well,
for the UK,
I think Sky Sports have got it. I think Sky Sports have got it.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I think so. Hope so, because it's just for me, Sky Sports totally outdoes Box Nation with how they present everything, and I think it's much better.
But it seems like Box Nations get more rights to US fights.
But yeah, this isn't a U.S. fight. This isn't a U.S. fight. This is a Swiss-backed tournament. This is like a Switzerland.
Yeah, I know that Kelly Sutherland and Schaefer are together
No, no, no. They're not the real ones behind this. It's some media group out of Switzerland. They're the real backers. They're the real money in this tournament. It's not Richard Schaefer and Sutherland are just the heads, the promoters. Sort of like Al Haymon with like Lou DiBella and other promoters. You know what I'm saying? That's this sort of vibe if you look into what the press release is saying.
But what you were saying about Box Nation and Sky Sports, I mean, Sky Sports had Kovalev Ward 2. They've got Broner Garcia. And it's just come out today. I don't know if you saw it, but Katie Taylor's on that card.
Yes, I seen that.
That's just pretty cool.
But that is because with Sky Sports, there's a bigger viewership, right, in the UK?
I would say so. Everyone who's subscribes to Sky has got Sky Sports. I'd imagine it's they've got the rights to most of the Premier League football, the soccer. So they're I would say easily the biggest. But Box Nation, I think they're coming through. Some of their cards I find a little bit like underwhelming, but they've got some talent over there, that's for sure. But Sky Sports for me is the place, and there's no better night than like a matchroom night. They're superb.
Well, all right, Rob, I want to thank you obviously for always tuning in. I'm thinking it's going to be showtime over here on the East or the USA, but I don't know if they can fill all those dates. Would they give up like the Showbox series for like a half a year for this?
It's not going to be on Showtime. I'm sorry. Like, I highly doubt we're going to get this tournament on Showtime.
I know. It's just too many fights, yes, right?
And Showtime is just...
How many fights altogether?
Where you're going to have... You're going to have eight fights in the first round, four in the second, and then two. And then we have the final one, I believe.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but...
He could be wrong.
math... I was not a math major in college. But anyways, digressing to the tournament.
History. We quizzed him yesterday. He did quite well.
I aced that shit. Anyways.
Not ace.
I aced
that highest shit. Score was 18,000. You had 7,400 was your highest.
Shut up. Anyways.
And I said, hey, that's good. If you're thinking half glass, half full, it's like, yo, that's almost half of the highest, you know?
So anyways.
Digressing
to the tournament, we have another guy that filled out a spot.
Who?
Mike Perez.
Oh yes, we're gonna talk cruiserweights.
Yes, and obviously on a other show we talked about Andrew Tabidi joining the tournament.
Yes, he didn't do it.
He did not do it. We have Mike Perez
that
joining
spot
the tournament.
Was filled by Michael Perez. Who
I
used
like
to
it.
Be a heavyweight.
I
so
like it. I love it.
He can be a live dog. Plus, he's a known face. That kind of works, man.
He spot some guys on
TV. And think about it, bro. He got himself in great shape just to get down to cruiserweight. He already had a fight at cruiserweight, you know. So that and that cruiserweight division, it's the top of the top, right? They got everybody. They got
every champion,
the top newest champions and the former champions. You know, they got how do you say it?
Alexander Usyk, is that what you're trying to say?
Oh, is it Alexander?
Yeah, it's Alexander.
Alexander.
Yeah, more of an O than an A, but anyway.
Alexander.
Murat Gassiev.
Junior Doctoritos.
Or Doritos, as we call him here.
Murat Gassiev.
I already said him. Marius Bredis.
Christoph Wulacki.
That's the only one I'm like, eh. I don't like that one too
much. What? Yeah. Nah, he deserves to be there, bro. He's got three losses, and one of them are to like who?
Fuck, I don't know.
I know. It's like Usyk.
No.
And maybe Huck, or he beat Huck. Like, yo, he's right there. He deserves it. Fuck, if Huck Olaz deserves to be there, come on, man. You're such a meanie, bro.
I am. I'm sorry.
I know. But anyway, Hawk Marco Huck is in there, and Dimitri. Let's get Jeffrey on this one because this guy is talking real cash shit. But guess what? He's 21-21 with the KOs, but he does have a loss, and I've never heard of him.
Dmitry Kachuryshev.
Kachuryshev.
Anyways, very quickly, stitching back to what I said about who was actually funding this whole tournament. It's Komosa AG, a Swiss registered company with principal owners from the world of marketing. Broadcasting and boxing. So basically, they also own Sutherland, I believe.
The ball goes all right back to Schaefer and Sutherland.
But Sutherland's a subsidiary of this mega corporation.
Subsidiary.
Yeah.
So Dimitri, what did Jeffrey say?
I've heard about him, but I've never seen him fight, to be honest.
Did Jeffrey call him? Kudrasov?
God knows.
Kudrasov.
It's Jeffrey.
Kudrasov. Dmitry Kudrasov.
Dmitry Kachuryshev.
Kachuryshev. So the dude has an impressive 95% KO ratio, if you count the loss that he has, where he suffered it by knockout
to
someone that he came back and avenged it to, which his name is, we're going to have to get Jeffrey on this one. This sounds like it could be almost African, this one. Oh, I was right. I was right. If not African, Nigerian, whatever.
Oh, I know who that is.
Oh, he is from Nigeria. There
I'm,
you go.
I'm not going to try to pronounce his name, but he's a good guy.
He's a good guy?
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
He's nice.
He's nice.
He's very friendly.
You know this.
Olander Wajuta Radola.
I'm pretty sure Jeffrey got that wrong.
No, this is not Olab Olawafi who you're thinking of.
No.
This is someone else. This is Olab Olawafi. Whatever.
That was almost correct, but
Olander Wajuta Radola.
Radujiradola. But his last name is Duradula. Duradula.
Duradula, yes.
Duradula. Yeah, Duradula. So that's his last name, Duradula, whatever. He's got 89%, well, 79% KO ratio. He just got knocked out by Dimitri. And he also lost by knockout to Mr. Britis. And also to Minchu. So all his losses to big names, except for this other guy I never heard of, Alex Soar. Someone Jeffrey's going to have to pronounce that I'm not even going to waste time with, because this is only a guy that is backstory. He's not even in the tournament. The one that's in the tournament is Dimitri. So Dimitri, we only talking about him because he was talking tough. He's saying that
He wasn't the one talking tough. It was the Turkish guy.
No, Dimitri too.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
You want to pull up the quotes?
I'm going to see. Let's see here.
I was pretty sure it was the Turkish guy.
You're pretty sure, huh?
Yes.
Are you?
I'm like 90% sure.
You're 90% sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean a lot.
It doesn't.
No.
It doesn't. Let me see.
You're talking about the quote where he's like the dentist?
No.
Okay. That's a good one, though.
No, because you see there's a quote here, but this one is maybe from Perez. I'm very happy to be part of the World Boxing. He's excited in the tournament. Perfect. Blah, 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 blah. Cruiserweight in the world. That's not it. And this is when we need the Jeopardy soundbite. With 15 of the 16 filled, I think it's here. Is that Jeopardy?
No.
It's time waiting. You suck.
I got Jeopardy on my soundboard, but you know, with us being in the studio, I can't use my own soundboard.
I don't know. I can't see it. Oh, shit, man. I could have sworn he was talking greasy. Maybe it was in another press release from the same, you know, whenever. When did he get announced? When did this, Kudryashov got his own release. Let me look it up while you do some filler. Hey, you know what? Let's get to caller while I do that. That's what we're going to need to do. We got this poor man waiting out here, like if he's not an alumni and shit.
I told y'all a long time ago.
We'll go down 3 rounds. Milk, man, what's up, baby? Yo. How's Atlanta doing?
Man, it's hot as hell down here, man. It's hot, baby. It's hot. But you know what? It ain't as hot as the TBV podcast, baby. It's close, but it ain't. It ain't right there, you know what I'm saying? I ain't hollered at y'all, man, since the motherfucking haters threw a monkey wrench in the game. They still got y'all waiting on that on the appeal and shit.
Yes, sir. We're just waiting.
All right, man. All right. Well, look, I ain't got much, man. Y'all just keep doing what you're doing. Everything's going to be just fine. We're going to pick up right where we left off in less than 24 hours, man. I think we're going to be up and running tomorrow, all right? That's all I got.
All right, Milkman, thanks for calling in. Thanks for the kind words. We're hoping the same, man. The last email came around 4 a.m. We're hoping we get a new one. Here it is. I told you that he got his own press release. That's how tough talkative this guy is. He said, I am the Russian hammer, and I will hammer my way to 4 titles and the Muhammad Ali trophy. Yeah, those are tough words. The tournament is loaded with champions and former champions, but nobody has a better KO ratio than me. I have a lot of respect for my fellow participants, but whoever gets in my way will be knocked out. That's talking greasy.
Yeah.
Is the fact that I'm yelling make it any more greasy, or is would it, if I would have just calmly said that, would it been the same?
Well, try calmly saying it and see the difference.
I am the Russian hammer. And I will.
Yeah, see, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. He's not saying that. Come on. He's angry.
He's angry.
He's greasy.
Yes. Yes. Let's see if he has any more interesting things here. Anywhere we can find quotes here.
You want me to go to the guy from Turkey, the super middleweight division, who had an interesting quote?
Yeah. Oh, about the one we laughed at?
Yeah. I wonder if it's just like a cultural
thing. But you gotta give a Turkey. Oh, shit. Turkey, Portuguese, that's your fucking neighbor. You got to give him like an accent or something.
I feel like that's offensive, so I'm not going to give a fake accent.
What do you mean fake? You're freaking partly, that's your motherland.
I'm from
Portugal and Turkey have to be like right in there. You got to like cross each other's borders somehow on a hike or something, right? A boat? No? Is it nowhere near each other?
Nowhere.
Really?
Other sides of Europe.
No way.
Dude, look on a map right now.
Jesus, I'm horrible.
Just for your own sake.
No.
Look up a map.
I'm always going to have an iPhone until they take away the internet from us.
Oh, my God.
I'll just GPS
home. That has nothing to do with
a map. Instead of ET phone home, it's GPS home.
You were around before internet. Siri, so you should be used home. To home. Anyways.
Siri home.
Back to Yildirim from Turkey. In the U.S.
What's his first name?
I don't know.
It was easy.
What was it again?
I don't know. Anvil, something like that.
Anvil Yildirim.
No, it's not Anvil. It's Envy or something.
Anvil.
I don't know. I'm not even looking at it. Yeah, you got the words in front of you. Come on.
His first name is not on this press release that you
forwarded me. What? You're stunting.
The press release that you forwarded me?
Lies.
You're tripping.
Lies, ladies and gentlemen.
You're tripping. Anyways.
Let me get to it because there's the fucking press release with the whole name. We'll get Jeffrey to say it one time for us. One time.
Happy Yildirim.
Yildirim, or whatever his fucking name
Yildirim.
Is. In the USA, they call me the dentist, because what I do in sparring and in fights is rearranging teeth. My message to everybody else in this tournament, you should all hope that you don't have to fight me in the first round, because I would definitely win and go on to the semifinal, final, and to victory. There is no stopping me. I want to make my country and my people proud, and I will win the World Boxing Super Series for Turkey. The dentist over here.
Yo,
on the real though, no one in the USA calls him the dentist, because no one in the USA has ever heard of this guy.
Yeah, no, he gave himself that name. That's kind of what you got to do.
Yeah, I like it though.
Yeah. Did you get to that part where he said, I am young and I am undefeated and I am hungry and I am ready for the world stage?
Apparently, you didn't send me the full press release.
Apparently.
And you just sent me a copy and paste form of one paragraph, which I truly appreciate, Ness.
Yeah, sure.
You want to go to another caller?
Kelly, actually, from Sullivan, actually said that the final participant in the super middleweight division will be announced on Friday morning. Everything, and I quote, everything is falling into place.
Dun, dun. Done.
No, wait. Shit, man. We suck. This is why we need a third producer. Like, you're late. You should have let me re-say the quote, but whatever.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. You tried. We're trying here, people. We have everything against us, and we're still trying. The stage is set. The draft gala with the 16 and final spots to be announced on Friday morning, and I can already reveal that it will be a big one. Now, we're automatically assuming that it's going to be Chris Eubank, because we got a little tip.
Yes.
Source. And we're going to use source. We can't say anything other than that. But if it's not Eubank, which to Sullivan has to be big because he's in the UK, then that's like a UK big name.
And obviously Arthur Abraham. It's signed with Sullivan Promotions.
Ah.
So there's a connection right there.
If
right?
he wins, that would be a big name.
Hmm. Interesting.
Hmm. I wonder if he doesn't win, who,
and,
like.
And very quickly, isn't Chris Eubank Jr. like technically a free agent?
I don't know, but.
Like, he's not signed with Frank Warren or Eddie Hearn.
I don't know, but what if is neither one of those guys? Could it be someone else?
I mean, like, there's a...
Could they be working on a Gilberto Ramirez with Top Rank behind our backs and we don't know about? Is James DeGale maybe healed up and ready that we don't know about? Badu Jack all of a sudden don't want to sit around?
Badu Jack has moved up to 175. He is no longer in the division.
That's right.
I don't know why you keep bringing his name up.
Because I'm using Box Rec and they have his stupid name there.
Well, that's why you are
Box Rec King. That's why they call me the Box Rec King.
And anyway... Digressing.
To what?
Gilberto Ramirez. Well, one, he's a champion. So that automatically brings some sort of credibility to the tournament. It adds more. The fact that we have four legit champions in the cruiserweight division.
Yo, he's tall as hell too, right?
Who?
Ramirez.
Yeah, man. Ramirez is huge. So is Benavidez. They're massive super middleweights. Those guys will move up to light heavyweight at some point in their careers.
Surdo. But Surdo's only 6'2 and a half, allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly. How tall is David Benavidez?
I don't know. Benavidez ain't ranked.
He came from heavyweight. You have to remember that.
Yo, Benavidez is so far. He's not even on box.
How? Right. How is that? He beat Porky Medina.
Dog, he's far, bro.
Is Porky Medina in box rec over there?
Yo, maybe maybe this guy, Benavidez, is ranked in another division or something.
What, the rank him at light heavyweight, possibly?
I don't know.
It is box rec. They fuck up a lot. Anyways, is it a possibility they're working with them behind the scenes and we don't know about it? Absolutely. But I doubt it.
So unlikely? Is it unlikely?
Because we have heard something. We have heard some sort of rumor. We have heard some sort of.
You would figure a guy like Benavidez, you would figure would join it because he's with Samson. He's not technically with Heyman, right? Yes, like, or exactly. Is he all the way Heyman? I don't know.
I don't know either. But I know that David Benavidez fits the mold of what they are putting in this tournament, prospects and slash contenders and like a couple champions slash veterans. But
he's scheduled for Anthony Durrell, B.
Who? David Benavidez?
Is scheduled to fight Anthony Durrell on BoxRec, the site you hate to use. He's scheduled for the 9th of September.
Hold on. There's no way.
Yeah. No way. Anthony Durrell, he's going to take on a dog. That's breaking news right there. Nobody Googled that yet. No one Googled Benavidez's name today but myself.
Holy shit. That broke 1 hour ago. Who? It's in play. It's not official.
Who did that?
Boxing scene.
What's the quote? Check it out.
Let me check it out.
Where's my fucking Jeopardy?
Oh, my God. This is insane.
No, that's a good fight. But he's going to beat the dog.
Very, very quickly. Benavidez promoter, Samson. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name.
Luikovic. Yes. I talked to him on multiple occasions.
Of Samson Boxing, we will begin immediate negotiations. This is a quote. We'll begin negotiations for this fight immediately, and David Benavidez will make history as the first boxer to win the super middleweight title at 20 years old. I have worked with a few special fighters in my long career. The first was Manny Pacquiao, who I brought to this country. The next was Sergio Martinez, who I also brought here to the United States. And the next one is Benavidez. Who also make history, and I predict that he'll become the biggest star in boxing in the next few years.
Well, there you go. That's why Callum Smith got passed on. Maybe
that is an amazing fight.
Why is it amazing?
I think that's an improvement over Callum Smith. Think about David Benavidez.
An improvement for who, though?
Anthony Durrell in the overall matchup. I think Anthony Durrell versus Callum Smith versus Anthony Durrell versus David Benavidez. I'm more interested in the Benavidez fight because Benavidez is a contender. He beat Porky Medina. He knocked him the fuck out. That matters more than knocking out Rocky Fielding. Okay, like, I'm sorry, Callum Smith. Like, you need to beat a contender to show that you are a contender. You are still a prospect. David Benavidez is a contender. And Anthony Durrell, for whatever we want to say about the Durrell brothers or whatever anyone wants to say about the Durrell brothers, they are still top 10, top 5, arguably, in this division. And Anthony Durrell, in my opinion, at this point, is the better Durrell brother. So I think this is an awesome matchup.
Awesome because you know the names, I think.
What, you don't like this matchup?
I like the matchup for Benavidez. It's like the contender getting his step up.
Do you like this matchup more than the Callum Smith matchup that was originally rumored?
Yeah, because I know Anthony Durrell.
No, the Callum Smith Anthony Durrell fight that was rumored. Because that's
because I know Benavidez.
Okay. I mean, like, people from the UK may disagree with us, obviously.
Yeah, of course. And they should.
I don't know if they should.
I think that look, Callum Smith, his biggest win is Rocky Fielding, and David Benavidez, his biggest win is Porky Medina, who's obviously more comparable and been in with other names that we know. Callum Smith, you know, Rocky Fielding is domestic level. When you're talking about Anthony Durrell, like, maybe people don't agree with his style or the way that his fights have turned out. But he has a decent resume. He fought Bika twice. You know, he's got the win over Truax, Badu Jack. He's been in there with, you know, he's not that bad. It's a leap up for Benavidez, and it would have been a leap for Callum Smith as well. But I think that Benavidez wins this fight. I think that this is a bad style matchup for Darrell. Darrell's a big puncher.
Benavidez is a bigger puncher.
And more of a worker.
Absolutely. And obviously he's bigger.
And that's going to give Darrell problems. The fact that, you know, he needs to fight a pace fight. And with Benavidez, there will be no... He's going to set the pace.
No, Benavidez's work rate is insane for a guy that's come down from heavyweight.
Who knows? He could shock us. He could shock us, right? He could show why his name is the dog. He could show why he has a 75% KO ratio. Benavidez could have power, but the thing is this.
Hold on, very quickly. Do you think this was the smart move by Benavidez over the tournament? Was sneaking in here and taking the...
It's a vacant WBC. You automatically become a champion. Your next fight, you start getting paid some decent money. Right now, he's probably not getting any money. As soon as he wins, then, yeah, you're a WBC champion, vacant title. Now you start calling the shots. Now you're Mexican. You start having those hometown Phoenix, Arizona fights. You get your brother on the undercard, maybe. Or you leave your brother out of it, and you do it all the fuck alone. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree. And I just love the matchup. I wonder where it's going to be. I wonder if it's going to be. I think Anthony Darrell is trying to get the Callum Smith fight from L.A. to either Vegas or like Detroit or something like that. I wonder where this fight's going to be, because I know that was a major issue with Callum Smith and that negotiations. And obviously this fight is not official yet. They're in negotiations. So I hope that this does follow through and we get this fight, because this is a great fight. And I think it kind of overshadows the guys entering the tournament, to be honest. You know, I know Rob Brandt, you know, you may be listening. I'm sorry if that offends you, but this is bigger. This is for a vacant title, you know, even though people shit on the vacant title. I think if David Benavidez goes out there and knocks out Anthony Darrell, he's a champion in my eyes.
And it gives the title some sort of validity, you know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying? Like, when it's a vacant title matchup, like, let's say Danny and Robert the Ghost, right?
Yeah.
People didn't like that.
Absolutely.
And then Danny didn't really do what people wanted him to do in terms of what they thought he was going to do and why they didn't approve of the fight. So you gotta go and do it in spectacular fashion. But these days, you know, the best are fighting the best, and maybe the dog doesn't let him get no knockout. And this goes 12 rounds. Cause again, Benavidez has power, but has he been hit? It's his turn to get hit now.
I think Porky Medina got him a few times. I think Porky Medina may be a bigger hitter than Anthony Darrell. I don't think Anthony Darrell's a knockout artist. He's never shown me that. Neither Darrell has ever shown me one-punch knockout power.
I mean, he knocked out Truex.
Okay.
That was just recent in his, you know, recent in his career, so.
I mean, but it's Truex.
He knocked him out, though.
If he knocked out, like, I don't know, anyone in the top 10.
And you know, you're right, though, but he hasn't knocked out anybody other than that in, like, forever. And the person that comes before that is like someone we've never heard of.
True. So I just don't see Anthony Darrell having any sort of knockout power and being able to test Dave Benavidez in that fashion. I think the only guy in this division right now that shows me at this very moment they could test Dave Benavidez's chin is a guy like Gilberto Ramirez. Like, James DeGale is not a knockout artist either. He slapped with the shots a lot. I know he had that one knockdown against Andre Darrell, but it's not like James DeGale has shown power. George Groves really hasn't shown power. I mean, significantly power, at least. You know, yeah, they have some knockdowns here and there, but they don't get knockouts. There's no knockout artists in this division other than guys like Gilberto Ramirez and David Benavidez. And Callum Smith. I'll give Callum Smith that. He has showed power so far, but he's not showed at the highest level.
Yeah.
That's where I'm concerned. Can he knock out these guys? Could he knock out an Andre Darrell? Could he knock out a George Groves? I don't know. I haven't seen him do that.
Yeah, and you know what? The naysayers would say that Triple G knocked out Rubio and then moved up, and Anthony Darrell couldn't knock out a Rubio that moved up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you might be right about the power. You might be right. We don't know. But he did get that stoppage over that other dude, Norberto Nemesapete.
Also somebody that does not matter in the division.
Okay. Okay, okay. You know, just got to say it. Let's get out to Sal. What's going on, brother?
What's up, fellas? Just want to check in, man. Shit, I forgot to update my my shit on Patreon, man. So I went dry. I didn't have you guys on Patreon or on YouTube and shit, man. It was all dead for a minute. But yeah, it's cause I had a card and then I got rid of that card and I forgot to put the next card. But yeah, I got that all figured out. But the real food versus Benavidez, I don't get it. To be honest with you, I don't get excited at all when I hear any of the Doral's names anymore, bro. To be honest with you guys, I think it's a good fight for the Benavidez brother though. But I really don't care for the Doral brothers at all. That whole tournament, that shit's looking like it's getting better and better. Hopefully they can get they can figure something out and get food going there or something. That'll be dope. Or Benavidez, either one of them.
Get who? Get who?
But wait. Well, this is a super middleweight, right?
Yes.
And I said Benavidez.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, yeah, now, I mean, he's scheduled. He's in talks to fight Anthony, so I don't know if he's going to get in. And that jumps the line if he gets that shot with Anthony. Puts him at the top of the food chain.
So how many fighters are in it so far? Or how many is it going to be?
In the super middleweight division, there's 7 of 8. And in the cruiserweight, they have 8 of 8.
Oh, so they're doing it in two. It's like a two division thing.
Yes, sir, brother. This thing is definitely heating up, man. I would love for like a dying network like HBO to pick it up because then these guys get instant stardom because you know it's a tournament. Fans love tournaments. You get attached to them, and since HBO's budget is dwindling, it's like you get all these guys that don't normally get on this, you know, exposure or this kind of money. And hopefully get it done. But I was told that it's not going to be HBO or that it's unlikely that it's HBO. And Matt thinks it's unlikely that it's Showtime. So I don't even know how we're going to get this one. Maybe Fox Sports 1.
Shit. Or ESPN. Something. Man, either way, man, that's my call, guys. I just wanted to check in.
All right, Sal. Thanks for the check-in. You know, Matt. The whole ESPN thing, I think those deals take a little longer because they want, you know, they have to attach their crew. Like, they never really let anyone be their own analyst. Like, it's like, let me see if Teddy and Max and whoever the bad pop-up.
They control the production.
Yes.
100% usually. Though, the PBC card was different, I believe, with Thurman Collazo, right? I mean, I don't remember who was on the telecast for that one, to be honest. Was it Teddy Atlas? And Joe Testa,
and hopefully someone from Heyman Boxing is listening and understands this is why lugging around those PBC things that cost almost $100,000 wasn't worth it because we don't remember none of that. All we remember is fights.
No,
we remember Thurman Collazo. We don't remember the, you know, who was the guy they brought back from the dead?
What do you mean?
One of the commentators for when PBC first started, they brought a commentator back from the dead. Used to be like a basketball guy or some shit.
Oh, God.
And he was like, yeah, Matthew, we're watching boxing right now. Come on, old guy would have.
I know who you're talking about.
I guess my impression is horrible.
It was horrible. I don't remember.
Matt never fails to take an opportunity to stab me.
I forget his name, to be honest. But I think PBC commentators were just overall are bad.
I wouldn't say that because they made their mistakes in the beginning when they tried to get all the fancy older generation commentators like that would bring
like the Sugar Ray Leonards.
The Sugar Ray Leonards, other guy with the fucking wig, you know, when they try to get all those guys to get like my dad and them off the couch to watch boxing again.
Wasn't like Brian Kenny as well? Like he was like the Brian Custer.
I have no clue.
Brian Kenny was the white guy.
Again, I don't remember any of that but the fights. Like I remember Bruno Molina. I can't tell you who called it.
Yeah, I agree completely. The only ones I remember, obviously, are the Showtime PBC cards.
Yeah, because we know who they are.
Dean Pauly, same crew every time.
Exactly, and familiarity. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't know who the fuck called those fights.
Exactly. We forget when Spike TV's PBC crew is Antonio Tarver and the Jimmy Smith from Bellator. You know, there's so many different commentary teams. But anyways, you know, the idea of where is this tournament going to be on in the U.S.,
wait, you digress. You're cutting me off because that was the point. You said that their commentators are shit, and I was going to say that. other than those older dudes, like I like Antonio Tiver. I like Austin Trout. I like Justin Deloach. I like the fighters being fighters as commentators. I kind of like the mix and matches that they do. I didn't like the other lady from Spike, like why she's there, but I know why she's there. It's like, that's whack, you know? I'm not trying to hate on Caleb Plant, but, you know, like, yo, Jordan Hardy's role, it's like, okay, but it's not 100% necessary, you feel me? But it's I always want more, so I get it, you know? But I like her role on PBC Jabs and stuff like that. But, like, I don't know about that corner information. Like, okay, Jordan, what's going on in the corner? It's like, even though other networks give us that just, like, via picture-in-picture.
The idea of, like, fighters being commentators, especially active ones, I think is an interesting topic because there is inherent biases. You are going to get cases where, like, an Austin Trout's going to be commentating a fight where he fought that guy.
Or like when Julian Williams wanted to fight him, that's why it makes it good.
It makes it good, or I think it could. I don't know. When I want to listen to commentators commentate on boxing, I want to hear them talk about the technique, the strategy of the game, what is happening in the ring. Try to give me some knowledge. I don't necessarily want to hear hype between a commentator and a fighter, though. And again, throwing blanket statements like, "Oh, I like fighters being commentators," I think it's sort of a false statement. I think there's plenty of fighters who suck at it. And not because what they say.
Well, not recently, because, again, the ones I named, do you not like Antonio Tarver?
No, I don't.
Oh, wow. That's something third personal, because as a commentator, I think he does a great job. He keeps it real. So does Paulie.
Maybe I don't.
Roy, I mean, people complain about Roy, but he's been doing it for so long that, like, there's going to be complaints.
What I'm looking for from a fighter is very specific. I want a Paulie when I want a fighter as a commentator. I want that sort of analyst that is really getting specific about what is happening in the ring, about footwork, about angles, about overall strategy. I want that. I don't think guys like Roy Jones, Antonio Tarver, Caleb Plant, Justin DeLoach are necessarily adequate for that yet. Danny Garcia, another guy. I just think a guy like Austin Trout, I think it does an awesome job, to be honest. But I think it comes practice. These guys are not necessarily skilled enough behind the mic or comfortable behind the mic to talk enough. Like Caleb Plant, for example, I forget what card he commentated on, like one of his first ones. And I thought he was saying all the right things, but he wasn't talking enough. He wasn't engaged enough in the booth. And I think that's just the overall issue with comfort, familiarity. A lot of these guys are not media trained as much as we think, I would say. And the idea of switching from being a fighter, being a boxer, to then being an analyst, being a commentator, those are very different jobs with very different skills that are needed to complete them at the highest quality that we the consumers, want.
Well, we got a... couple of more minutes before we wrap it up. And so before we do that, let's head on over to New Jersey to Amin. What's going on?
Fellas, what's going on, fellas? Good to hear y'all back. I tried to hang out for yesterday's show with the Border Wars, man, but it was just a long day. But, you know, you hit on something funny, Matt. Like, Roy Jones... I think, and most HBO commentators, I think they fall victim to the slant. I think Paulie has an opportunity to really speak more freely. Not to say that Showtime doesn't have their biases, but I think he has the opportunity to speak more freely. And you're right, his personality as a whole. So perhaps if Broner and Paulie, I put them almost on the same tier in terms of just engaging personality, even if they don't have much to say. But Roy Jones, I think he's playing company man a bit, and for the expertise he has, I mean, we know he's probably a much better fighter than he is either a trainer or a commentator. But he does have some good points to make. I like listening to Roy, and I like listening to Bernard. I can guarantee you that one. When I got to turn on some HBO, I'll be happy as hell when Roy is up there and Bernard is not up there, because Bernard, I mean, he's
awful.
A little too slanted for me.
Bernard's one of the worst commentators in the game, unfortunately.
Bernard was actually on the Breakfast Club. We got to check it out. He was hating on Floyd. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, hating on Floyd.
Well, listen, I want to throw this in the mix. I want y'all to, you know, I know y'all going to wrap it up. We got to get ready for later if that's still popping. But Chris Eubank being in the mix, I like a Chris Eubank and Andre Ward fight at 175. I don't see Eubank staying at 168 for that long. I don't even know if he's had at least one fight at 168, maybe just one.
I mean, he just moved up, and he already, he's still willing to come down. You're trying to take him up three divisions.
Nah, but Eubank, I mean, but that's what he does. It's not me. Eubank and Bella, all them guys, they jump up weights. David Hay, they jump up two and three weights for whatever the fight is. So I'm not pushing him up to 175, but, I mean, he's the kind of guy that he's always talking about. He's willing to move up. And what, he went from 54 to 60? Then he's jumping into 168?
Well, no, he went from 60 to 68, and now you want him to go to 75. And he only had one fight at 68. Well, now he's about to fight a real guy at 68, you know?
Well, I figure if he wipe out that if he wipes out that tournament, or if he does well in it at 68, name recognition alone, and it's the UK, I think that's an interesting fight for Ward, man. I don't know. I see that fight as being mildly competitive and very interesting.
Well, all right. I mean, you're right. Definitely. See, I didn't understand you at first, but now, absolutely. If he comes out of this tournament the winner, then fuck yeah, fight Ward. Because out of this tournament, he would have had a significant amount of fights at 68, and it would justify moving up. But I thought you meant him move up right now and fight Ward right now at 75. Mm-hmm. It's like, yo, is he really ready to do that? Would it be the best decision for him? But show's come to an end. Final thoughts, man. I hope a good U.S. network picks this up and allows us to DVR and watch this one live, and you know, be able to join in and be part of these boxing festivities. I hope it just doesn't become a Sky Sports Box Nation UK only thing where we got to get fucking YouTube links. That would suck. And speaking of YouTube, if they would do something like that, then that would be also good. Maybe a straight to YouTube feed for the U.S. since it's on the U.K. I don't know if that would work for them financially.
Well, I know Richard Schaefer is looking for U.S. TV rights right now. So they are looking for it. If they find it, it's a different story. Yeah, but they are looking.
The thing is, who are they going to get? And is it going to be, you know, good coverage?
I know the rumor is Fox Sports 1. I don't mind that. I know some people
are. No, I would definitely. Why are they not happy? Is it not open to enough people? Is it what? Does it limit them?
I guess so.
How so?
I mean, not everyone gets Fox Sports 1.
I have it.
Yeah, but you have like the super fucking.
I have cable. Like good cable. That's all. You know, I got to do my job. Got to watch all these fights from all over the fucking world. I don't understand how long they're going to take to give us fucking Sky Sports as part of an option on our package right now. Like, it's just so stupid. At least call it Sky Sports Boxing, because right now they've integrated, as you can see, you've been staying with me, they've integrated Netflix and all those things right into the cable subscription. So it's just like, yo, like, give me Sky Sports as well. But listen, I am your host, Nestor Gibbs. We are still being What can we call it, Matt?
We are dealing with litigation with YouTube and ABS.
I was gonna say something more like we were still being bullied, I guess we're dealing with litigations, but I feel like we're being bullied and you know, forced out of our normal habitat, which is the world. But we'll probably be back. I don't know, you know, if we're going to do a 7 o'clock show. I mean, there's obviously a little bit of news here and there. We could scrape up some sort of show. I guess, you know, let us know on all forms of social media. But if not, we're definitely going to come back with something else. Me and Matt, definitely with a untitled or some sort of overtime. Because we have a lot to discuss. So definitely, if you're listening to this, you can always get more exclusive content on Patreon. Shout out to Rob Brandt, still a Patreon subscriber. And like first thing out his mouth, guys, was like, yo, you calling me to tell me they lift the YouTube ban? I'm like, nah, man, I wish. But it felt awesome to, like, you know, to know that he's like that invested.
You know those old school like necklaces with like the heart and two, like, yeah, BFFs? Yeah. Like, you and Rob Brandt need those necklaces. And like everyone you meet, you're like, oh, we can connect the hearts.
Oh, so now we're BFFs because we've had a couple of conversations.
He called you the Dominican Nightmare.
He recognizes skill. Why are you hating? You seen the skill.
I have.
You've seen it firsthand. You've seen things you can't even mention.
Yes.
So I don't know, why are you treating young Ali in this fashion?
I'm not saying that you're not the Dominican Nightmare. I'm just saying anyone that will come up to you or call you and go, the Dominican Nightmare, and say it like with some earnest, you know, with sincerity, they're your boy. Like, they're your homie.
Or they can recognize skill. And Rob Brandt is that. Rob Brandt is a skilled.
You guys are Facebook friends. Get the fuck out of here. Come on, man.
Rob Brandt is a skilled fighter that recognizes talent. Because I haven't even put out the real sparring, bro.
You guys DM on the regular.
Oh, God.
That's all I'm going to say.
This guy's he's a hater. Listen, man. I am your host, Nesta Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, even though they got us locked out. Subscribe to Blog Talk. Yes. Subscribe to iTunes. Subscribe to TuneIn. Everywhere that you can listen to the show. Because, see, right now, if you're not on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or iHeartRadio, you don't even know about this. You can't even hear these words. So even if I whisper, it wouldn't help. And if I was whispering, that still wouldn't help because you're so far away anyway. So, but even if I yelled, it still wouldn't help. You got to subscribe. But Matt, let them know where they can find
you. Well, very quickly, there's a couple sponsors we do want to get to.
Like?
Amazon.com, Audible. Oh,
if you're doing any Amazon shopping, what you need to do is use our hyperlink. And it costs you absolutely nothing, but obviously it's a little kickback. So when Matt has to take these cross-country trips, you know, it's not on his dime. You know what I mean? TBB could be like, hey, here's this little 18 cents that Amazon sent the check because one of our users used the hyperlink. So with this 18 cents, go buy yourself a little bubble gum in the airport. At least you're not paying for that. But hey, courtesy of our listeners, for sure. But look, there's also links on there. All you got to do is go to theboxingboys.com/sponsors. And what you're going to find there is obviously a bunch of them. There's like Showtime, if you never had Showtime, or if you just want a free trial, go ahead and use our link, get that free trial. And I believe there's also an Amazon Prime free trial there for you could get, you know, for your Amazon. I mean, I live by Amazon. That's what I'm saying. Use my link because I can't use my own link. I shop there every day. And I just bought like 3 wraps.
And there's a link for Audible, right?
Link for Audible, and absolutely.
Audible. I'm a big Audible fan. I love listening.
Are you
to
really?
It. Yeah, you know me. I love books.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'm a nerd. So
he is.
I am.
He thought he was good in chess. I just have you know, this is actually a Patreon perk. We usually tell people on Patreon what's happening in our normal day-to-day life, but I'm going to let you know I kicked his ass in chess twice. I'm just saying.
It was brutal. It was.
I was kicking his ass so bad. He said, "Yo, are you in a fucking chess club?" I'm like, "No, fucking chess club." But I'm that nice, huh?
And also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes.
Yes, we need those 5-star reviews. It helps us grow. Tell
of
them,
course,
Matt.
Of course. I mean,
we can't have these other guys like being in the same stratosphere. As you guys got to help us get to the Guardians of the Galaxy in terms of, you know, reviews. We got to get away from these guys.
I think our goal, especially, is to be in that like that
1,000. I want to be in the Joe Rogan class of reviews. Last time I checked Rogan, he was like 11,000.
I'll put it this way. When you go to like the top 25 or the top podcast from sports or entertainment or whatever, I want the Boxing Voice to be in there.
Always.
So you guys, you listeners, all the
you make us number one.
Yes, you guys are there to make us number one.
I actually got a soundbite, man. Man, where's my guy Molly Bongway for, man, when you need him, right? I got some various soundbites here.
Remember he called in like a month ago?
Yeah, it was a while ago, man. Yeah, I don't know. Awesome. He calls in whenever he wants. I don't know.
Yeah.
Where are you, Mally?
But again, give that 5-star review. And obviously go to patreon.com/theboxingvoice to get tons of extra podcasts, shows, content.
All
that. All access. And
you can also do on-demand shows. If there's a topic that you feel we keep overlooking, I don't know. Maybe you want to talk about Roman Gonzalez and Sersicat plus Cuadras and Juan Francisco Estrada and... Someone. It's like a triple header. It's like a triple header of little shish kebab guys and shit. So, you know, if you want, I don't know, if you want to talk about stuff, that's not really my, you know.
Really?
What? I feel like you could put them all on a little toothpick of a shish kebab and just like
that was very disrespectful. I'm sorry to all of you flyweights out there, super flyweights. You guys are special to me.
Flyweights.
Yes, damn it. Okay, those guys bring entertainment and fight of the years. I guarantee you, one of those fights on that card will bring a fight of the year contender.
Here goes my guy.
Yo, what's going on,
hey, boxing fans?
To make Boxing Voice number one boxing show?
That's right, number
log
one.
Log on iTunes and drop them a 5-star review.
Cinco estrellas.
Come on, man. It is free and easy, and guess what? It means a lot to these guys.
It does.
Holy crap, what is this hesitation is all about, man? Go write the review, motherfuckers.
Was that a baby in the background?
Yes. Yes, that is. Anyways, I am Matt Hipster Hunter. You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter, Matt Hunter TBV on Instagram, my MMA podcast, Mixed Combat Radios on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. Peace. We're going to be out of here. Hopefully, see you later today. We do not know. Obviously, we'll decide later. Peace.
The Boxing Voice for the voice of the people.
And have a good day.